Good morning. Time for us to begin. Thank everyone for coming. Happy St. Patrick's Day. And I'll be the first one here to walk in without any green on, found out this morning. Today is March 17th, 2019. Thank you for coming. To our sorrow, we have some sad information that Brother Fred Mullins passed away this morning, the gentleman that sat right over there, and he greeted us out there. So he'll be sorely missed. It's a reminder that we all going to have to pass death one day, and keep that in mind. Be the best that you can with what you have. Those of us that got to read our Bible, let's hold it up. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, thank you so much. Each week, it gets tougher and tougher. I believe if you do something, do it right. And it takes a lot to get a lesson up. And we've been here for 8 years, and it's been about 4 years since we had a break. And so I asked for a break next week. I'd like to go to Huntsville and be with Roman and his family and worship with them. And I just want to tell you that how much we appreciate y'all so much. And thank you for loving us, and we definitely love you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the things you have done. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus out of Galilee. Thank you for all that he did. Help us to understand that we are having a salvation over his stripes. Father, it sounds brutal, but they beat him. They whipped him. They lied upon him. They spit on him. They de-dressed him. And he did all this for us. And people will not accept that. Thank you for my brothers and sisters here that have taken the package and gift of salvation and opened it up. As we go from these boundaries each day, we realize that we fight against people that are negative, people that do not love the Lord, people that will make fun of the Lord, people that just does not care, people that are tearing our country down, our ways and our principles. This is the time, O Lord God Almighty, that we need to be strong. We need to unite together. We need to wake up and realize what's happening. We need to care more about our salvation and be the best that we can with what we have and where we're at. And I just thank you for mine and Joy's time here, how beautiful it's been. And we thank you for your love and kindness. Thank you for these people. Thank you for what they mean to us. Be with us today and help us go through the lessons and all the lessons that come in the future. Thank you for all that you are. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Psalm 66, verses 3 and 4, simply says, "How awesome are your deeds! So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you." A statement. The believers need not have any doubt that God answers prayer. And when he does, he should sing his praises and thank God for his faithfulness. Today's psalm was written after Israel had won a big war under difficult circumstances. The Israelites wanted to testify to each other, to the world, and to God himself, how great and mighty he is, so that everyone would bow before him, which we all will one day. To be on God's side is the greatest privilege on earth. Let us thank God with our whole heart, because we know he hears our prayers and will always cause us to triumph over our enemies. Sometimes it's rough to do what's right. In escaping continuous sin, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's talking to the Ephesians. And if Paul was standing up here today talking out, I thought it was important to read these scriptures. And I'm reading from Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verses 25 to 32. Sometimes my Bible gets so marked up, I can lose my place real easy. But I thought it was interesting to read these things. And let's just pretend that Paul is talking to us. He's talking about how we're living our life. And he's trying to tell us the way we should live. Starting with verse 23. Quote, "So you must stop telling lies." And remember, these are Christians like you and I. "You must stop telling lies. You must always speak the truth to each other, because we all belong to each other in the same body. When you become angry, don't let the anger make you sin. And don't continue to be angry all day. Don't give the devil a way to defeat you. If a person is stealing, he must stop stealing. That person must start working. He must use his hands for doing something good. Then he will have something to share with those people who are poor. When you talk, don't say any bad things, but say things that people need, things that will help other people become stronger. Then the things you say will help the people who listen to you. And don't make the Holy Spirit sad. The Spirit is God's proof that you belong to God. God gave you the Spirit to show that God will make you free at the right time. Never be bitter or angry or mad. Never shout angrily or say things to hurt other people. Never do anything evil." And the last verse, 32. "Be kind and loving to each other. Forgive each other the same way as God forgiven you in Christ." Unquote. May the Lord add his richest blessings to his holy word. I wanted to talk to you this morning briefly, if I may. To do these things, the first thing we have to do is to clear our mind. We have to clear our heart, our soul, and the pathway to sin. Clear the fog from your mind and alert. Before we do anything, before we can understand what we're supposed to be, we have to let our mind go. We have to pure our heart. No one is perfect. And we sin and we make mistakes. Our soul sometimes is in jeopardy because we do not do the things that Paul was talking about. We say the things we shouldn't say. We do the things and think the things that we shouldn't do. And it's important we understand that. It's the pathway to sin. We all sin. We fall short of God's glory. And it's important we need to understand that. Clear the fog from your mind and your heart. Be especially alert to stress, anger, hurt, and guilt. If you're under stress, and we all have, if your anger has come and guided you, if you have been hurt, and if you're guilty, sometimes your heart cannot accept the things that should be accepted and do the things that you're supposed to do. And until we clear these things, like the Bible tells us in many, many, many places, we're going to have problems. Until you realize who you are and what you are, we stand sometime in fog. Exercise being patient. Patience being patient. And practice that. There's so many people on television in these convoys and demonstrations. They just let their emotions explode. They say what they want to say, no matter who is there, and they hurt. It's like an arrow shot from a bow. Once you shoot it, it's said. And sometimes in our home life, to our husbands and to our wives, to our sons and to our daughters, and to our mothers and to our dads, we say things that we shouldn't say. And it's so easy sometimes to say what you wanted to say and get it out of your system and then ask for forgiveness. Sometimes the Bible tells us that we need to practice patience. Be slow to speak and quick to hear or listen. Put your brain in gear before you put your mouth in motion. And we all understand that. Practice patience. We all on the interstate in Fort Payne. Fort Payne is getting to be so busy. Highway 35 goes through town bumper to bumper. And if it's 1 o'clock in the morning, it's just that way. And people pull out in front of you. Sometimes I think I have a sign on my truck that says, pull on out, you can do it. Because people move out in front of you like crazy. And you throw on your brakes. It's important that we put that brain in gear. Practice being patient. I practice just driving every day. I may take the steering wheel and want to break it. But I try my best to learn to be patient. You have to practice to be patient. Well, you're an old man. You're supposed to. Well, you're a young man, and you're the leaders that are coming up. You're supposed to, too. It's important that we be patient and put our mouth in gear. Consequences come with our decisions. Sometimes we don't understand that. And he talks about sin in many places. And the one thing that we should understand the most, that sin has consequences. He forgives you. He forgives you, and you go into heaven. But there's consequences to my sin and to your sin. I could go in deeper, but sometimes it's hard to explain that. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, many of us burn too many bridges behind us. And the one thing you learn in the military, don't burn bridges behind you, because you have to, the bridge that you go over to attack, you may have to turn around and come back. Quit burning bridges behind you. You say, well, what are you talking about? Disrespectful to your parents, disrespectful to your spouse, disrespectful to the elders, disrespectful all the way around. Say what you want to say, letting Satan take over your whole body, your whole mind, your emotions. And sometimes, I can tell by the way some of the people back there look that I don't want to hear this. Sometimes we need to hear this. Sometimes we need to hear things to make ourselves better. You're either going to get better or you're going to get worse. The Bible tells us in Luke, you can't stay the same. You're either for me or you're against me. No man shall serve two masters, for he shall love the one and despise the other. It's like we tell the athletes, we go to practice, be a better person today. Be a better man when you come off that mat. Be a better man when you come off that field. Be a better Christian when you walk out that door today after we worship. Be a better person. And we tell you every Sunday, are you better today than you were last week? Or do you stay the same? You can't stay the same. You're either worse or you're better. You're improving or you're disapproving. You're getting better or you're getting worse. And we as Christians, we need to understand that. We're in closing time, the closing days. It's so important for us to understand what we're supposed to do. It's just not, all right, just come to church and then leave and then forget. It's important that we understand what we're supposed to do. There's a code of conduct. We have a code of conduct in the military. We have a code of conduct on a team. And people, brothers and sisters, We have a code of conduct in the Bible that tells us what we're supposed to be doing and what we're not doing. And sometimes when you tell a person what they're not doing, if you're sitting in a room full of athletes and we're showing a film of last Friday's game, and we're pointing out things. Hey, this is a good job after number 42. You know, he comes and saves a good tackle. He does this, he does that. And then there comes a time, even though you win, we want to point out this or that. And you tell them. And you tell the player, we're not attacking your personality. We're attacking your ability as a player to do what we're asking you to do. And then to all 11 of you, understanding the scheme of the defense or the scheme of the offense or what we're doing, we're not working. One guy out of 11 can mess up in football, and we pay dearly for it. One guy in wrestling can not work out like he's supposed to, not do the things he's supposed to. And if he loses, that gives 6 points to the other team, and that takes 6 points away from us, 12-point turnaway. It's important that we do what we have to do. We're healthy, we feel good, and yet sometimes nobody may not remind us who we are and who we're supposed to be. And it's imperative that you understand that I will be the best I can to do the best I can do with what I have, where I'm at, and where I'm planning. And to be prosperous. Be prosperous. Feel good. Build things up. It's important that you do that. You're going to heaven. Boy, you may walk around. You might see somebody like Billy Graham walking around, or Sister Teresa or something. They're good people. And the Bible says, no one is good, only God. But what I'm trying to say to you, let's do the best that we can do with what we have. And it's important. Rest in peace in God's promises. Read and know those promises. There's so many promises. There's over 1,000-something promises in the Bible. Take Abraham and Sarah. They were given many, many changes. And they were in God's people, but still, they didn't hold to some of the promises that were supposed to be made. Understand what God's peace implies. In the book of Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse 15 states, and it states, quote, let the peace that God gives control your thinking. You are called together in one body to have peace. Always be thankful, unquote. Understand what God's peace implies. There's some of us that can go to bed, turn out the light, turn the cover on, and sleep. And there's some of us, God forgive us, we toss and we turn. We forget who we are. We forget the things that God has promised. And we forget sometimes the promises that we have made to God. It's important. Last night, I sleep with a mask. And something was wrong. And I was dreaming something. And I kept turning over and I felt like I was having a difficult time breathing. And I realized, I reached up and there was no cord. The tube had come undone. And I was suffering. And finally, in the darkness, I reached and found the thing, the tube, and put it back miraculously for me. And the air came and come back to me. Sometimes peace controls our thinking. Sometimes we let stress eat us up. Sometimes things hurt us. And we can't be at peace. Well, how do we be at peace? And I say it every Sunday. It's just understanding the playbook. The playbook. The Bible. The Bible. It's so important. It's so important. And so many times we don't understand it. We don't understand what we're supposed to do. And as I'm talking, sometimes I've been out there. I've been in the film room, being a player. I played for 13 seasons. And the coach jumps all over you. And sometimes at practice, when he gets on to you, it just makes you feel good. If they grab you by the head and face mask and say, hey, I know you're trying. That's all we're asking. And I remember in New Orleans, I was going to this big old high school. back in 1959, 60, 61, 62. And I felt like I was the only guy that had blonde hair. Everybody else was Cajun. And I felt like those coaches were Cajun. And I felt like they did me wrong at times. And I pouted about it. And I remember one coach grabbed me out there in practice one day in front of about 80 players. And he said, "The day I quit getting on you, the day you give up, the day I give up, you just go over and sit on the bench the rest of your life." So you have to come to realize that sometimes things happen. Satan is well and he's loose on the planet Earth. You understand that? He's loose. But he can't control you. The devil cannot do anything to us that God does not allow. And that sounds crazy, but the Bible says that. There's some things he's, like he told Job, you can do what you want to, but Satan, you can't kill him. And remember, he got so bad, he had boils on him, he lost everything, his family. His wife stood by him to the end, and the end came, and the Bible says he climbed on his belly to some fire that had gone low, and he got into ashes, and he was rubbing the ashes on him. The dogs were eating his sore that had pus in it. Sounds gross, but you get a point. And then she got in front of him and knelt down and said, "Job, curse God and die." And Job, with his last probably breath, he said, "No, I will not curse God." Immediately, Satan was gone. Now, he couldn't get probably any worse than Job when to lose things like that. And sometimes, I hate to say it, but we just don't realize that what we're not doing. That's how come we have sins of omissions and sins of commission. Sins of omission, I'll say it again, sins of omission. You omit to do things. You omit to be kind to your parent. You omit to say something good to somebody. You omit not giving the right thing. You omit not helping that person you knew had asked you for help. You omit your prayers. You omit what you have to do. And you just go on like it don't even bother you. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I got it made. I'm royal blood. You remember all the good things, but you sins of omissions are the things that you don't do. And like in football practice, I got to go to weight practice. I got to run. I got to pass my grades. I got to do this. I got to do that. Sins commission. Sins of commission. You've done it and I've done it. I willfully sin. I willfully do the things that I'm supposed to do. My time is almost up. Enjoy yourselves. Psalms 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart." I had that tombstone, Joy and I put that on my daughter's tombstone. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Enjoy the journey going to heaven. Let your life be fulfilled. Let your life have quality and a code of conduct that somebody sees you coming and says, "Look, here comes a breath of fresh air. Here comes somebody special. Here comes somebody that doesn't complain all the time. Here comes somebody that knows the Word." It's important that we understand that. And last thing, I hope in your life that you will find someone somewhere before you die. Is there someone on earth that you love and would want to say, "If you live to be 100, I want to live to be 100. Minus one day, so I never have to live one day without you." Find love, find kindness. It's so important. God bless you. Lord willing, we'll see you in heaven. Thank you.